The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for this fourth Sunday of Advent is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter, the first chapter, starting with verse 18.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her and as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let me get my sermon.
The fabric. So almost for it was like brown, depending on the color of the sheep. Brown, black, or beige. White was not also, it wasn't a very common color for poor people. So those were the colors. I want you to picture this Miriam that we're talking about and this Joseph that we're talking about. She was not rich, not at all. A Jew who lives in a world controlled by a tyrant who's under the control of Rome. That's what's going on back then. That was the thing. She knew about Roman power very well. She saw it. She lived through it. She lived in a land that was occupied, and in that land, some people hated the Romans. In Miriam's world, every now and then, there would be unrest. Young Miriam saw the end of Herod the Great. She was able to see it. She saw the Roman Empire come in and slay men. That was part of her world. She experienced loss and brutality. That was Miriam. That was Miriam's world. That was the mom of Jesus' world. And in the midst of all this, the hope of Messiah. At the same time, the hope of a Messiah. Not only in her heart, but also in the heart of every single Jewish person around. The Messiah would come to rule and bring justice to their people, to her people. Miriam grew and was declared an eligible young woman ready to be betrothed. We're not talking about 20-some or 18, which I think is really young. But we're talking about as soon as she got her period, 12, 13, she was declared a young woman ready to be betrothed. Her father had already made arrangements with Joseph, a man which she did not love. She was too busy being a girl trained to bear children, to do house chores, to do life. So with this romantic, idea of her and Joseph like falling in love, that was not it. Joseph was not a 13-year-old kid from Nazareth. So he wasn't part of her friend's circle. Joseph, a man she didn't love. She might know him, of course. This was strictly business. Strictly business. That's how the father would assure himself of his daughter's survival. Like a good girl, she was thought of as property. Now, you cannot look this in your Western civilization mindset. That was life. That was how things were. Girls were property. Women were property. If we study history, we know that that was the thing until very recent. Being her father's property, now she would be Joseph's property. She was born according to tradition. Virgin brides were worth twice as much. Girls were given to a man, and they were no longer a child. That was Miriam's world. And then a celestial being delivered a message that she was pregnant, and this baby would be the awaited Messiah. Talk about complications. Talk about complications. During a time where she shouldn't be having sex with his future husband. Which, by the way, once they were betrothed, they were already considered husband and wife, but not in the sexual relations way. That wasn't supposed to happen, but he was supposed to be already in charge, and she was supposed to obey him, even though they weren't living together. That's how betrothal happened back then. Hey, you're pregnant. And it's the Messiah, by the way. Now, an angry father. Shame fell on her family, on her future husband, and his family. Now she was worthless. Now Miriam's life is in danger. She could be stoned to death, by the way. This was this young woman's situation when she goes to her relative's house. And we here in Advent, you know, imagine this beautiful story of, oh, I'm gonna be the Lord's mom. I'm gonna visit my relative to see if she is really pregnant. And and then the Magnificat and everything. But this is what we're talking about was happening. This most likely, oh, shouldn't say that, because I need something else. So this is her situation. Now we're gonna talk about Joseph, or Giuseppe. Giuseppe, he is not 100 years old like pictures, you know, depict him. He might have been maybe a 30-something year old man, or early 40-year-old man. You know, Mary's dad wasn't gonna marry her to a person that could very much be doomed to death. He wanted to, like, give her a place where she could be protected and sustained, right? So we're not picturing a very old person, like the images that we have of the nativity story that Joseph sees, like her grandfather. A little bit older than her. He was supposed to marry this young woman from Nazareth. Now Nazareth was gonna talk about him as well. He was supposed to marry this young woman and not have sex with her. And now she's pregnant. He was in trouble. He was gonna be judged, and he was gonna be the gossip of Nazareth, whole Nazareth. Either he had sex with her against the law, or he was willing to accept an adulteress as a wife. Those were his options. He could not accept the latter one. Either way, all of a sudden, he had to deal with shame. He had a way out. This man was supposed to accuse this young woman of adultery. He was supposed to. Because he wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything. And as the accuser, he had to throw the first stone in front of his family, in front of her family, in front of the whole village. This man was greatly tribulated. Greatly tribulated, to say the least. When just as sudden, God sends a messenger to put sense and perspective to the whole situation. Now it's really confusing. If it wasn't complex enough, now it's really confusing. Because of course, God's orders are not the usual way to do things. God orders the less traveled road. As always, the most challenging road. The odd choice. Well, the course of action ordered was challenging because no man whatsoever would have done what he had to do. Back then, they wouldn't. Joseph assumed the challenge, and we know the rest of the story, right? And you should ask yourself, well, where is the good news here? Where is the good, joyful, loving story in all this? It's in the name. It's in the name. He shall be called Emmanuel. He shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. This little person, this little human being would embody God. This little human being would embody God. God is stepping from his high place. He is stepping down from his high place, from his throne, and choosing to come down with us. Choosing to come down with us. Well, the magic now is over. I have a manuscript, you know it is. God with us. God with us. What should that mean to us? What should God with us mean to us, or should mean to us? Brothers and sisters, I cannot use enough words to try to explain what Emmanuel means in regular mashed potato and, you know, roast beef kind of language. We are living in Emmanuel times. Ever since that moment, we are living in Emmanuel times, in God with us times. And sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we forget, and we focus in our own little universe and do not realize that we are actually living in God with us times. And as a nation, we are going through divisions. We are. But this is not new. Brothers and sisters, we are not going through divisions now or in the last 4 years, no. Division has been part of this nation's history ever since the beginning. Ever since the beginning. The greatness of this nation comes from the fact that in spite of those divisions, in spite of everything that some of you might think is negative, and speak a bad mouth or a bad word of this nation has been able, its people, to keep it together. So in spite of everything, in their doings, and in the way they do things and behave, demonstrate that there is an Emmanuel. There is still a God with us. And you might not be able to see an actual God, but you see God through the people that walk with you. That's the core of this place of greatness. The people that live in this nation, that's the core of your greatness. And that's why we are what we are. Which in spite of everything else, it's not a bad place. It's not. God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. In spite of the gray, in spite of the black, in spite of the confusion, in spite of your not being able to understand certain things and be upset about others, in spite of all that, in spite of your ideals, in spite of your opinions, of my opinions, at the core, Emmanuel is a reality. And Emmanuel walks with you and does life with you, no matter what your opinion of what's going on is, regardless of that. We might start divisions within our families because of certain issues that are happening right now, but God is at the core. Emmanuel is at the core. That's the strength that keeps us together. A God that, an incarnate God, an incarnate God, a God that stays, a God that dwells, that struggles, that cries, that celebrates with us. That's what we're talking about here. We prepare for his coming. That's the whole thing about Advent. We prepare for his coming. We remember ourselves that in spite of everything, he came. And he stayed. And we could see him through the people that surround us. God is here. God is here. In spite of everything, God is here. No matter what. That means that this will also pass. May God bless us, and may God bless the future of this nation. Amen.